That's right, guys. Welcome back to Super Reviews, a Digital Soup production. I'm usually Dave, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Jason and Adam. How are we doing tonight, guys?
Very well.
Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent. Well, this week, or this month, I should say, on Super Reviews, we are diving into Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, movie from back in 2014. Adam, this was your pick. Why don't you lead us into this and kick off this Super Reviews right about now?
Sounds good. So Edge of Tomorrow, this is going to be a spoiler-filled review, as all of our Super Reviews are.
Yeah,
so we're not pulling any punches. That's okay. So Edge of Tomorrow is actually based on a novel called All You Need Is Kill by Hiroshi Sakurazaka.
What was it called?
All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need Is Kill.
Kill is all you need. That's a obviously a Japanese novel, but this takes place in a future where Earth has been invaded by some aliens, and Tom Cruise plays Major Cage, and he's just kind of a spokesman kind of a guy for the military. He doesn't have any combat experience or anything like that, but he's on all the news stations, and he's eventually forced by his superiors to partake in this big landing operation against the aliens. And you know, throughout the beginning, you don't really get to see him, but the aliens until they finally land and you see the battle scene, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So he's against his will. He basically wakes up with a master sergeant played by Bill Paxton yelling at him. He's like, "You're going to be baptized in the fire of battle," or whatever he says to him. It's pretty awesome.
I was trying to think, what is that line? Because you hear it over and over.
Yeah. And that's amazing that we can't remember it, and we did hear it so many times. You
know, hey, all we need is kill. Yeah. So, of course, he lands on the beach. All hell breaks loose, and when he's killed in combat, he wakes up, and he's found he's in a time loop. We've seen a few different time loop movies, you know, like Groundhog Day. You got to do something until you get out. This kind of takes it to the next big sci-fi level. And he ends up teaming up with this Rita Vitrasky, played by Emily Blunt. And they keep on going through the day over and over again. She used to have this skill, apparently, and then she lost it because she didn't die. She was hospitalized and had a blood transfusion or something like that. And they keep on honing their skills and their plans to try to find a way to defeat the aliens. And it's a pretty awesome premise for a movie. And the tagline was "Live, Die, Repeat." So that's pretty catchy. They use a lot of really cool looking military tech and stuff like that. So that's kind of the premise of the movie.
Yeah, what I really liked about it was Tom Cruise's character, Major William Cage, he, as Adam said, he's just a public relations officer. He is not a real soldier.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the whole reason why he's even on the front lines here is he was sent over here and he was supposed to go on some troops and actually film the troops,
yeah.
In their advance onto the alien-controlled France. And Cage is basically, I mean, because he's a public relations officer, he has no combat experience, as I said. He's kind of a chicken. I mean, he's like, he doesn't want to do it.
Well,
he tries to blackmail the
It was like the British intelligence, because it wasn't U.S. Army.
That's General Brigham, played by Brendan Gleeson. He was trying to blackmail.
Yeah, you know, they want him out there because he's this PR wizard, and they know that there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of lives lost, and they want him out there filming it to put a positive spin on it for the general public who's watching this slaughter happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But what happened, I mean, he doesn't end up doing any of the PR stuff. He must have really ticked off that general, because he puts him in basically as a private. And everyone's like, "Sure, you're a major." Yeah. Okay.
Had him arrested and throwing him in. Nobody else knows that he is a U.S. public relations officer. They think he's a new recruit.
Well, they think he's a deserter that's been caught. Like they said, they said you'd try and say that, and you know, you claim this, and you have all kinds of stories just to try and get out of it. So they really did a number, in a quick fashion to turn him into what looks like a deserter. The line that we were searching for was, "On your feet, maggot." That's what he every
Why couldn't day, we remember that?
I don't know. I knew it was something simple, but every day there's a cruel sergeant, he's labeled in IMDb, that kicks him as he's unconscious in handcuffs on this dock, basically, and tells him, "On your feet, maggot," and then they get going into the day. So
Now, the one I was thinking of, it's a quote that's a little bit later where he's talking about the fiery crucible or something like that.
Yep. That's when he meets the rest of the crew.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, what I loved about this movie here, and you've seen a little bit of this in the movie Next with Nicolas Cage, another Cage, pretty awesome. But what is cool is, what you know, once he figures everything out and he's trying to make it through this day successfully, he dies repeatedly. I mean, he is just constantly dying, and if something happens in the battle, once he's with Emily Blunt's character, what did you say her name was, Rita or something?
Rita.
Once they're both working together and they're trying to make it to this destination where they think that this, like, mother brain, you know, straight out of, we'll say, Metroid, mother brain that's controlling everything.
It was the Omega.
Yeah. Ooh.
I know that because my wife watched this with me, and at the end of the movie, she said, "It's so weird hearing my name in a movie so many times."
But what I found fascinating was how, you know, they kept repeating the day and stuff, and they kept getting farther and farther.
Yep.
And you know what this reminded me of? And I know you guys probably are thinking the same thing because we all come from
Dead Poets Society.
No.
Seize the day, carpe diem, right? No. Am I right, guys? This guy knows what I'm talking about.
I like fishing.
No, I was saying a video game to how you keep advancing farther into the level.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it reminded me of. It brought me right into a video game there. Like, oh, I'm getting a little bit farther now. I finally got by this thing. You know, because he had stuff memorized down. He was like, all right, 8 paces this way, dodge, shoot up, roll, shoot this way, you know, because he knew where everything was coming.
Well, right. Think about that for a second. Like, they show him die a lot of times, and it's implied he's died a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
But when you start looking at the level of detail that he has memorized and plotted out to try and get them further and further in their overall mission to stop this thing, you realize that this guy had to have died hundreds and hundreds of times.
Yeah. It's all muscle memory by then.
Right.
Hey, you know what, Jason? You're onto something here because Sakura Zaka was inspired by an online account written by a video game player where they commented on how restarting the game after the playable character's death allowed for trial and error improvement. So he actually got the idea for his book from video games.
Yeah. And you know what? Okay, games nowadays are not like this because you have so many save points and everything. Mm-hmm. But he has to go all the way back to the beginning.
Yep.
He has one death, and then he has to start the entire game over.
Think it's back Contra.
The 8-bit Nintendo days. I'm talking about that.
Yep.
And him having to meet the drill sergeant, his squad, go through all of that, that's like the first levels that you're like, oh my God, I got to go through all that crap again to get back up to this point so I can get farther.
Yeah.
He
can't take a break.
No, and how frustrating that would have to be having to go through all those steps every single time.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, I thought, you know, to take it back before we get too far down the rabbit hole on this, let's talk about Emily Blunt's character on here, Rita. Was it Vertaski? Is that how it's pronounced?
The Angel of Verdun.
Yeah, and you think you see this character. Now, she is billed as kind of this super soldier. She's the one that first wore this exosuit that they developed and was successful in killing these aliens. And she basically saved them in another battle similar to this. And you find out later that she was in, as you guys might have mentioned earlier, while I was looking for that quote, that she was actually infected with this same blood from an alpha alien. And she got a blood transfusion and lost it.
Right. So she was in a time loop herself. Which,
yep.
And I really like that that part of the story because it made sense of why she's suddenly this. Her very last go at it, she had gone through who knows how many hundreds of repetitions. So she came out of this battle looking like just a monster warrior.
Right.
and I believe the blood fusion transfusion had something to do with it. But also they had to die in the same day.
Right.
Because if the day ended, then it would just keep going on too, regardless of a blood transfusion or not.
Yeah, and they basically explained it as, with these alphas, aliens, they are tied and connected, and this alien race is able to control the time loop. And essentially, this alien race is doing this same thing. That's why they're so dominant and spreading so quickly, is that the humans don't know it, but they've been manipulating time and reliving these days, resetting it over and over, and that's why these battles are just bloodbaths. But once her character, Rita, gets infected with the blood as she dies from the alpha, then she's able to take control of that time loop. for a time. And then when she loses it, all of a sudden now Tom Cruise's character Cage gets that power and she realizes that. But what I thought was so interesting, she's been built up till that point in the movie, which is probably what, 15, 20 minutes in, half hour in, where he realizes he's meeting her for the first time. He's finally going to that first battle, and he dies on the battlefield, comes back that first time and is all out of it, like, what the heck's going on? And he meets her on the battlefield and watches her get killed that first go around. And then he tries to save her the second time, and something gets broken on his suit, and he's laying there, and she's like, oh, are you okay? And he says, yeah, but I can't move, and she swipes his battery, just a dick.
Yeah.
You know? Takes his battery, leaves him there to die. And then the same thing, you know, and she's kind of a jerk up until he gets to the point where he sees her training, and she's like, come find me when you wake up. And that's when things really took off for me, where it's like, okay, how does she know what's going on? And then you really get into this situation where, you know, he's having to explain it to her every time, like, yep, we've met, we've done this, we've done that. But she knows what's going on, so she's able to kind of keep moving things forward and fill him in on what he needs to do. It's kind of a brilliant plot device, really.
Yeah,
and she is just awesome as this type of a character. I mean, terrific choice as a leading actress.
I have to say, one of my favorite things is when they're, cause once they get in the swing of things and he's meeting her at the training facility and they're training to kill aliens, he gets injured, and then she goes up and just caps him because it resets the time loop. And then he's like, no, I'm fine now. I'm fine.
Yeah, boom. What's wrong?
And that's the thing I'm wondering is how many times did she actually kill him and not an alien kill him? Because I think she did kill him quite a few times.
Well, and that's her rule. You know, the rule is on that scene Adam's talking about is he's like, I think something's broken. And she goes, what is it? And he goes, my back. All I can feel is my lips or something like that. And she goes, okay, the rule is if you ever get injured on a battlefield, you make sure you die immediately, because that's how she lost her power. And then she shoots him in the head right there and walks away. And it starts over and over again.
So how many times did the people around her witness her murder him?
Right.
Now, here's the thing. If you know, nobody asked him this, but you just got to admit, you got to, you know, think anyways, that it's just like Wolverine, where they ask him, does it hurt when those blades come out of you? Every time, he says. Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, he has to feel this death every single time.
Right.
So even though he's getting used to it, he still doesn't want to die.
Oh, yeah. And you can see as the movie goes on and the story starts to unfold and they're figuring out what's going on and he's pushing farther and farther, you know, she's kind of hinted that she's warned him not to get emotionally attached, you know, because it happened to her and all these things. And you can see that he has not only died all these times himself, but he's watched her die many, many times. And he's come to know her, even though to her it's one day. But to him, it's been possibly a lifetime of days. You know, this has been repeating and repeating and repeating. And that's what I think. I know you guys referenced it in the beginning. This is a Groundhog Day with a sci-fi twist. Mm-hmm. To me, it absolutely is that. But this is, at its core, one of the saddest love stories I have ever seen, I think. I mean, it is fantastic, and it takes you on this ride. And we'll get there when we kind of talk about the end. But to me, this love story that develops amidst all of this crazy action and sci-fi time travel, all of this stuff happening, is fantastic.
Well, and she hints too that she has already gone through what he's going through with her. But you know, she lost a partner and she saw him die hundreds and hundreds of times.
Right.
So
And so what ends up happening, you know, if you guys are ready to move on, they finally get to a point where these aliens, because of that connection he has with the alpha alien, they realize that, and she found this out too, that he'll start having visions of this Omega, this mother brain, as you guys called it. And find out that this thing is controlling everything, but it's hiding off-site. It's away from the battlefield, staying safe. And if they can get to it, they can kill it and stop it all. Well, they end up finding this. He has the visions, and they get there, and you find out it was just a big trap. So really, the alpha aliens and the Omega planted this in his head because they're trying to get their time loop power back.
Yeah, and they're trying to keep him from killing himself.
Right, and he goes there, and he almost loses it because he's hijacked. There's no alpha there, or there's no Omega mother brain there. It's just a bunch of these alphas that try to essentially stop him from being able to reloop. And he does end up drowning himself, I think, at that point.
Yeah, that's a great way to die, too.
Oh, man, brutal.
That's one of my top five.
You know, and that gets him there, and you find out this alien is still, like, it's playing a long game. It's tricking them.
Right.
It's excellent. Really, I mean, so many big elements, like the mystery, the plot twist, and the, like I say, the sci-fi action and this big love story developing. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about the scene when they make it all the way? They finally get through this gauntlet that they haven't been able to get through up till that point, you know, and she's asking him, what do we do next? And, you know, this was later. She, what do you do next? And he goes, I don't know. We've never made it this far. But the scene with the helicopter in the field.
I was going to mention that. Yes.
Yeah, that was such a powerful scene where you really see how he's starting to fall in love with her and care for mm-hmm. her in a sense, because he's like, look, don't start that helicopter, because every time you do, I can't save you and you die. And they still come, you know, and so tough scene. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that was I think it served its purpose pretty well. As far as you don't want her to get in there, you know she's going to do it anyway. And then it's like, yep, sure enough. And I think that's one of the first points where you really see that he doesn't want her to, you know, that he cares.
And it's got to be tough, too, because the movie doesn't let us know how many times he's had to repeat any of this, but we know it had to have been hundreds of times. Yep. So, you know, any of us, if we're spending that much time with somebody, we would, form an attachment, possibly a love, you know, if it's, you know, someone you're interested in. And of course, she cares nothing for him because she's barely knowing him, really.
She does and she doesn't. And that's the thing. By the end of the movie, I think it starts to sink in. But yeah, when it gets to the point where he loses his power as well, I think then there's a genuine bond between the two.
Well, that scene that you're talking about there is what tipped her off, because he knew
her middle name.
How she liked her coffee.
Yep.
So she knows that they've been through this many a times and that he actually cares, you know, because, I mean, you go through this a million times, you wouldn't care. Oh, here's some coffee, whatever. But, he's purposely doing it. He's tending to her wound and all that kind of stuff. So it was at this point that she does realize that, hey, this guy, maybe, you know, we've been doing this so many times, maybe one of these alternate attempts, I've fallen for him too, possibly. But, you know, every time it resets, you got to start it over. So she doesn't, you know, remember anything.
You know, once he lost his power, I got a little more anxious watching it, just knowing that you're all out of lives, dude. And that's, you know, like a video game where you're on your last life and now you're fighting the boss.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it felt like to me. Now, interestingly enough, I once I watch movies that I like, I go on IMDb, I look at the trivia. And talking about the love interest part of this, at the very end where she kisses him, it was completely unscripted. She just surprised him and did it, said it just felt right. That was a pretty
good woman doesn't want to kiss Tom Cruise?
When was that? That was right before they killed the Omega?
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to remember when that was. I've only seen it the one time, but yeah, that scene,
she was very blunt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she... I don't know. Tom Cruise is a you know, well known as you know, Hollywood sex symbol, so you can't blame her.
And sometimes cuckoo.
Oh yeah, and that's you know, that's the thing. I mean, she probably grew up watching him. She's a bit younger, of course, but
although I mean, she's married to John Krasinski, so
right, which is kind of a weird pairing.
John Krasinski, isn't he the from Office, the Office guy? Oh yeah, that's what I thought.
But he's actually, if you guys saw 13 Hours, he's actually a pretty darn good actor and
a good
action star.
But kind of a guy. When you see him, like his jokey personality that we all know him for.
Goofy Jim,
And then her like serious British actress, although she's very funny as well, but it's like, how in the world? But anyways, this isn't
she's
going to
be Mary Poppins.
Yeah, yep. She's fantastic as an actress, but they yeah.
Dave's shipping them.
Yeah, no. I myself, that's, you know, well, we'll get into criticism in a second because we're almost to the end of the film here. But that helicopter scene for me was where things really sunk in, you know, the thought that, man, he has done this. As dumb as it was, because to memorize all those things as I thought back about it, you know, move for move, step for step, you realize how many times he's done it. But it never occurred to me until that scene with the helicopter at the farm. And I was like, man, he's been through this so many times, and he's reaching that tipping point. Like, I don't know how many more times I can watch you die. I'm ready to end this, you know?
So here's one of the things that really made me like the movie. So I'm one of those people that I don't like dark endings unless I'm watching Black Mirror, which for some reason, but I like happy endings. I'm just one of those people.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing what was going on, I'm like, oh, when he dies killing the Omega, you're like, oh man, that's too bad. But I really liked the end of the movie where he gets one last recycle and he goes in and she's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
You know, the same thing when he walks in the training facility. And then he just kind of smiles at her like, I got to go explain all this now. And then that's where they roll credits. I thought that I liked that ending a lot.
It was good. But since we're hitting the ending here, I didn't really like this part of it because it was kind of confusing to me. Now, he kills the Omega and he does get the blood of an alpha on him as he dies again. So he repeats, but he doesn't repeat. Now it kicks him back to back in the helicopter before he lands in Europe. And when he lands, everything is over. You know, remember? Okay, it's over. None of that ever happened. None of that ever took place because the war is over. He did not attempt to blackmail anybody. He did not get arrested, get thrown in with his troop. He didn't kill all these people, get killed, I mean, all these times. So it was, I don't understand how that happened because it should have kicked him back to later than when the last time it was kicking him back to because it was like the next day. So it's supposed to be within the same 24-hour period, but he's surpassed that time now.
Well, this time when he floats through the water, he gets like submerged in the Omega's blood, and the Omega is more powerful than the Alpha. So I'm guessing that's kind of what happened. And if the Omega is outside of this same space-time continuum thing, then this is like the tricky thing with the time travel movies is how does this work? He still has all his memories from all this stuff that never took place in the future.
Right.
It reminds me like Back to the Future 2 where it's like, we're on an alternate timeline, Marty.
Yeah.
But so he's still in there. And I don't know. I was okay with that. My major criticism with this is yet another movie where you kill the center thing and all the other things die. You know, kind of like Avengers. Well,
did they instantly die, though? Because if you remember watching the news reports on the screen that kind of scrolled at the end, it sounded like they were able, the human forces were able to sweep across the battlefields and kill them easily. It doesn't sound like they all dropped dead necessarily.
Well, it looked like they all dropped. They all like shriveled and dropped.
Yeah, the ones immediately right there in that moment did.
Drop them like
but
it's
I think there was still a lot of them out there that were basically just mindless roaming around that weren't close enough to
but
die.
Still, though, I mean, the same concept. There's some centralized controlling thing,
right?
You know, it's like that's a little overused, but the way that they use the time loops and everything, and just the cool visuals of these exoskeletons, the unique aliens and stuff, I actually really, really like this movie a lot.
Well, I found this article that I want to read this to you. That's a paragraph or two. It's on the screenrant.com website, and they try and give their theory on why this time loop that Jason said, you know, it's something that a lot of people have talked about. Like, how does that work? Like you said, Adam, with a time travel movie, it's one of those questions, obviously, that's going to be out there. And they kind of base some of their time travel rules on things like Doctor Who, Looper, and a movie called Primer. But what they said is that the Omega's ability to reset time and retain memories from the previous loop mean that, to some extent, it exists outside of a traditional observance of time, which means even though time resets for Cage, Vertaski, J-Squad, and humankind, the Omega's death is a fixed event outside of the loop. So basically what happens is that during that point, because he was knocked out by a taser, it occurred on that airfield, you know, when they arrested him, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's when his time loop and his arc into this actually would have started, because that's the events that led him to dying at the hands of the Alpha. Whereas because it was just the Alpha blood, it brought him back 2 hours before he meets the Alpha. Whereas killing the Omega basically brought him back to the beginning because he never died in the first place then. You see what I mean? And so that's kind of the argument that they're making there.
So other people had the same feelings I did on that situation.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's not a perfect ending. I mean, it is confusing. But I'm just more okay with it, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, aside from that, Jason, Adam, you liked the ending. Aside from the time travel question, Jason, what did you think of the ending? Were you satisfied with it?
Wait, no, hold on. I got a seg block you here. I got to do this because I just had a revelation. Here's what really happened at the end.
Sure.
At the end of the movie, when he kills the Omega, it reset our timeline of us watching the movie. And so the actual entire movie is just him on the helicopter waking up and everything's fine, and it's a short film.
Yeah, and we just retain that memory.
Yep, we retain that memory. You get that time back. And somebody mess with your clocks.
We'll roll with that.
Well, we'll be messing with our clocks tomorrow night. But anyways, in case you didn't remember, guys. But anyways, the ending, the movie overall, I loved. I absolutely love this movie because I'm a huge sci-fi buff, and I thought this was very well done. I loved all the aspects of it, you know, the repeating and just, you know,
the
everything
living,
about it.
The dying, repeating.
The repeating, yep. Like I said, I did have a little bit of an issue with after he killed the Omega, how it reset back to before he even landed.
Mm-hmm.
And like Adam said, you know, I don't go into the camp, you know, unlike Adam, I'm not a sensitive fool. So I'm not like, oh, he loves her and everything.
Sensitive fool.
Yes.
That's what he will be saying about me in a minute.
Oh, boy. But I did, you know, as Adam said, I did kind of like that where she goes, what are you looking at? I mean, he's been through everything with her so many times. She has not a freaking clue who he is. And he's just staring at her.
I like the idea of how is he going to explain this?
She's never going to believe it because she had never repeated either because it went back so far. She never repeated either.
No, she would have. Because hers happened months and months before that. That's a question I have.
Yeah,
that's,
I guess
that's
it
part
was.
Part of my thought on this movie, this ending. But go ahead before I jump in there.
Well, that's basically all I had to say about that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Forrest Gump.
Well, for me, I've got to say, I did enjoy the ending. I thought it was good. But like I said, it was good in that extremely heartbreaking kind of, you know, when you look at this love story aspect of it, as far as the movie as a whole goes, the sci-fi side of it, the time jumping, all of that, the action sequences I thought were great. It was well shot. I liked how they jumped between these more peaceful moments and kind of tender moments and the tension that built once he ran out of life, so to speak. But this underlying love story where he's falling in love with her, that ending is heartbreaking to me because he goes there and he meets her, but he's still the major at that point. He hasn't been kicked down and hasn't seen combat and all of that. He got that one final reset. She has no clue who he is, and he kind of gives a smirk like that and walks away. And to me, I felt like he is not going to ever explain to her who he is, what's going on. I felt like that was him closing off any semblance of a relationship, if you want to call it that, that they had. And as a love story, I kind of like that it didn't end with them, you know, married 5 years from now. You know what I mean? Everything wrapped up in a nice clean package. It was kind of a sad love story type ending to this brilliant, you know, sci-fi action movie that it made you wonder, like, well, will she know what's going on? Like we were talking about, will she understand that time had reset, or is she going to be kind of out of it and, you know, doesn't really know any of that because of he was able to win and he's not going to be able to ever explain it to her.
But Dave,
yep,
I do believe if you are correct that months ago she did go through all of this,
yep,
he is the only other person that understands what happened that can explain to her in detail what happened to him.
Right.
So she will believe him that he actually went through the same thing.
But will he try? Because I kind of expected that if he was going to try and pick that up, why would he just kind of smile and say, nothing, I've got to go, you know, and walk off?
Well,
like,
I think he smiled and he left because he knew he was coming back. I mean,
if
you were Tom Cruise.
Yeah. No, but if you knew that you would never be able to explain this to her to where she would understand, where she would ever have these feelings for you, wouldn't you just kind of like your shoulders would sink down, your face would go just, you know, just the exasperation.
Probably.
But he smiled and he turned away. He was going to give her some time.
But it wasn't quite the Tom Cruise in Top Gun with that cocky, arrogant, like, yeah, I've got this smirk. This was more of like a, well, that's it, you know.
See,
this is over, smirk.
I'm going with the fact that he's going to pursue her, at least.
Yeah.
Only because they're working on Edge of Tomorrow 2 with both of them.
Are they really? That's what I didn't even know about that.
That's what I was going to ask. They kind of left it feeling like they could be trying to set up a sequel, and I was going to ask if they just never did.
Back in October, there was an update from the director, and it sounds like he and Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt are all excited about it. They all really liked it, and it's not in the works right this second, but they all want to continue with the sequel. So,
but this is Jason. I don't want it to happen.
Okay.
This is Jason saying, I don't want it to happen because we can't just have a repeat. Okay. Now the aliens are back and now we're repeating time again.
No, what if it's the same movie? They just changed the ending.
Yeah. Well, think about this, though. With the physics, this is a thought that kind of just occurred to me. With the physics or whatever you want to call it, the rules of this time looping, how when he had the blood of the Alpha, he was in control of the time. They were trying to get it back, and the Omega wanted it back. Now, he killed the Omega. Does that mean he is now in control of being able to time loop? Is he essentially in control of those alien powers that will allow him to reset a day or multiple days?
That is an interesting thought there, that now he does have the full power of the Omega, and he walks away. He does not know he has this power.
Right.
But if he doesn't, no, because the Omega never had to die.
No,
it's all speculation at this point.
Speculation.
But there's plenty of room for a sequel.
Yeah. So here's what Doug Liman said when asked about.
Who cares about Doug? Seriously.
I don't know. Tom and Emily Blunt.
I heard he's fresh.
Dougie
Fresh.
Nice. That's why I went
Tom and Emily and I are excited to go do it. We have a script. We're just trying to find a time to schedule it between my schedule and Emily's and Tom's. But it's one of these things where it's a sequel whose origins come from the best possible place, which is it's not a studio saying, hey, we think we can make some more money. Let's stamp out another one.
Right.
This sequel originated with fans of the original film who continually came up to Tom and myself and Emily, told us how much they loved the movie and would we consider a sequel. Enough people said that to me and Tom and Emily, and we finally sat down and said, what would a sequel look like? So we ended up with Chris McQuarrie coming up with a great story. They've got something.
Yeah.
We don't know what yet, but they've got something. It's just a matter of when. So
it's got potential, I think, if you start looking at some of these other questions that come up, and it could be decent. So anything before we get into giving our scores on this, I know it sounds like we all pretty much really enjoyed this movie.
I did.
Anything about it you guys didn't enjoy?
I already mentioned my pieces.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, basically, I was confused about, you know, why it jumped back to before he even landed.
I don't get
helicopter.
Things real good. My name's Jason. Shut it.
Nice. No, I think for me, the only thing that I would say, even though Tom Cruise is a fantastic actor, he's one of those actors that I have a hard time. We talked about this with Will Smith before too. I have a hard time because he's so big and you've seen him in so much. Not seeing him as all of his different characters. What's that?
I don't think he's that tall.
Well, no, he's a tiny little dude. But as far as popularity, I have a hard time getting, you know, seeing him as Major
disconnect.
Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see him as Tom Cruise. I thought of him as Tom the whole movie.
Well, yeah, so did I, but it didn't take me out of the movie. I mean, any of the big stars, it doesn't really take me out of it.
Days of Thunder, of course, Top Gun. Mm-hmm. Risky Business. I mean, so many good ones.
It was risky business, what he was doing.
So, Adam, what do you give this bad boy?
I'm giving this a 4.5 out of 5 because I liked it a lot and I loved it.
There we go.
What is with these points? I thought we were just doing whole numbers.
Well, whatever you want to do.
We've
done
points
as
in the past.
Anything we want to do?
As long as it's between 1 and 5.
All right. Well, Jason is going to give it a 4 and 3 twelfths.
Perfect.
Okay, 4 and 3 twelfths it is. So, 4 and a 0.25.
I will also give this. I'm just going to go with the straight even numbers. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Very, very enjoyable.
This is our highest rated movie we've watched so far.
It is. Yeah. And you know, I've got to say, even though you guys had tried your best not to really hype it, but a little bit of a hyping about saying it was so good, It really did hold up. It was really fun. The only thing I would knock there, when I saw how long it was, I thought, wow, this is a long movie. And there were a couple.
Didn't feel like it, did it?
There were a couple moments where I was like, okay, let's get on with it.
I'm going to go get some juice.
But the thing is, they did such a good job. That one of my favorite parts amongst many in this movie is early on when he's understanding that he's redoing these days and he's trying to learn. It was kind of this dark comedy, like the time when he's trying to get away from his troop to go meet her when he wakes up and he thinks he can roll under this truck.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He's like, okay, let's do this. And he rolls and not quite fast enough, truck runs him over. And they added these little kind of humorous touches. Yeah. And that was fun for me. But overall,
What did Bill Paxton's character say there? It was like, what were you thinking or something right. like that.
Yeah, and it was just a lot of those little comedic touches as he's redoing these days. I was like, okay, those are fun. Could have cut out some of them. But I see why they were necessary in the long run to really make you understand that even though we saw a lot of them, he went through this a lot more.
So. Hey, there's something wrong with your suit, mate.
Yeah, solid 4 out of 5 for me. So that gives Digital Soup overall rating, giving this movie, Edge of Tomorrow, a solid 4 out of 5, which means we are saying serve it up. Go watch serve this if you get a chance. If you haven't already seen it, I don't know why you're listening and we're telling you this at this point. Because the movie's been spoiled, but still go watch
Go watch it again.
Check it out.
All right, now, we know it's Dave's turn to choose for the next episode of Super Reviews. What do we have on deck?
Well, I wanted to do something a little different because we've been in this kind of sci-fi fantasy type mode, right?
Oh, I love it. I hope we never leave it. Okay, yeah,
and I mean, don't get me wrong. I love these kinds of movies, and there was ton of them that I've got stored up for future choices that I was thinking about doing, but I decided we're going to stay in the geek realm and we're going to go watch something from one of the geekiest directors I know, and that is Mr. Kevin Smith. Now, ironically, I had decided this before he had his massive heart attack, and that just kind of makes it even more appropriate, I think. Next month, we are going to be watching his crazy walrus movie. We're going to watch Tusk.
Okay.
And it may be a total crap show because I've not seen it, and from the sounds of it, I don't think Jason had. None of us have seen it.
None of us have seen it. This is amazing.
Yeah,
this is a movie none of us have seen.
A little toast. I know a decent amount about the premise of this movie because if you listen to the Kevin Smith podcast he has, which is called Smodcast, he's been doing it forever. I remember as a listener when he and his partner Scott Mosier, his producer friend, came up with this idea. It started out as a joke on an episode of their podcast, and through the episode, it gets to a point where you can all of a sudden hear him click and think, wow, I might have a movie here. This could be fun, and they keep bouncing ideas off each other and just laughing and having a good time. And 6 months, 8 months later, a year later, whatever it was, he released this movie and made it. So it's cool. The first one of what he calls his Canada trilogy. So
nice.
I hear it's bizarre, I hear it's weird, but it's still in the geeky realm, so Tusk, if you haven't seen it, watch it and check back next month on Super Reviews, and we'll have that right there for you.
Absolutely. Sweet. And guys, it's time for us to wrap it up, so I'll just ask any of the listeners to please check us out at digitalsouppodcast.com, and you can find us and subscribe to us anywhere where you listen to podcasts. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and as always, check us out on that website and check out our normal weekly episode that we do every Tuesday. We put out a full episode of the Digital Soup Podcast, and we are a member of the Gunna Geek Network over at GunnaGeek.com.
Take care, guys. We'll see you next time.
Later, maggots.